ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 17 ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗ ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ 5 and 6. ಅಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿಹಿತಂ ಘೋರಂ ತಪ್ಯಂತೆಯೇ ತಪೋಜನಾಃ ದಂಭಾಹಂಕಾರ ಸಂಯುಕ್ತಾಃ ಕಾಮರಾಗ ಬಲಾನ್ವಿತಾಃ ಕರ್ಷಯಂತ ಶರೀರಸ್ಥಂ ಭೂತಗ್ರಾಮಮಚೇತಸಃ ಮಾಂ ಚೈವಾಂತ ಶರೀರಸ್ಥಂ ತಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾಸುರ ನಿಶ್ಚಯಾನ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಮೆಥಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೋಟಿವ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್. ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್ 3 ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್, ದಿ ದೇವತಾ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್, and the second one is the mode or method of worship, and the third one is the motive of worship, and we saw the devata worship earlier. Now the topic is motive of worship. Now here Krishna does not give the complete picture in a systematic manner, but he gives it in a mixed way. So we separately discuss and we come to the shlokas and understand them. So come to sattvic method and motive. Sattvic method of worship, you know, is a very quiet worship, shantaha, and there is no big pomp and show in all those worship, no noise and all that big things, does not involve too much of torture to oneself also. So the emphasis is not on the external show or torture, but on bhakti, on shraddha particularly. And the motive also is what? It is not meant to harm anyone. It is done with a selfless attitude. That is the motive, sattvic worship. So the sankalpa is what? Sarvesham sukartham. For the sake of all the people. For the well-being of the whole world. And in the process, you know, mama chitta shuddhyartham cha. So in the process of that, my internal purity also is involved. So only motive is what? Purification of the mind and helping all other people. That is all the motive in this type of worship. And again, we should remember, every puja that blesses not only the performer, it creates a nice samskara and influence in the surroundings also. But Krishna does not mention this in these 2 shlokas. He does not discuss sattvic method and sattvic motive separately at all, because throughout Bhagavad Gita, he has been talking about only these 2 anyway. So what is rajasic method of worship? Pomp and show. Lot of show, you know, so much of all this projection of oneself. So spend lot of money on show than helping other people. So light decoration, TV, video, advertisement, publicity, all those big banners, all those things. And what is the motive again? It is not loka kshemaha, it is selfish motive or name and fame. You know, as I tell all the time, when people put 1 tube light, the entire tube in a temple, the entire tube light is covered by their name, address, phone number, fax number, whatever it is. You get almost no light at all from the tube light. So dambha, ahankara, they all will be there in those kinds of worship. So I should show how much money I have got. I should raise my status in society. All these intentions. If that person has spent 1 lakh, I should spend 2 lakhs. Actually, in Bombay and all those places, people who are familiar, this, you know, Ganapati Chaturthi time, whose Ganesha is the biggest? So they have got all these competitions among themselves. So lot of noise, so much of name, fame. But he does not want to harm others, even though he is selfish. So such people are there. And what is the tamasic method of worship? That is rajasic worship. What is tamasic method of worship? Torture of the body. You know, like too much of fasting. That also is not good. And at 40th year, all ulcer and all those things will start. And nowhere too much of fasting is prescribed in shastras anywhere. Moderation in everything. That is what is always prescribed. 1 day fasting is okay. 1 time fasting is okay. It is to control the tongue, essentially. If you overdo that, we are going against nature. So our system requires food. Because without food anyway, you know, we cannot survive. So system requires food. So eating is not a papam. Eating more or eating for taste, then they may be not good. So doing tapas surrounded by fire, some people do that, you know, surrounded by fire, standing on one leg for days together, inserting needles and all, walking on fire, all those things we have seen. So they are all kind of torturing the body. That should never be attempted to. So we are not questioning those people who are doing it. It's all their tolerance and all. But Shastras, they don't demand that only such bhakti will give them the fruits of whatever their motivations are. So Krishna tells, Karshayantaha. Karshayantaha means thinning the body. Body becomes leaner and leaner, starving, torturing the body. And the tamasic motive is harm to other people also. Even cheating and taking money from others, damage to society, religion. So they may even wear agar robes, some of them. All the, you know, they may be wearing all kinds of agar robes, they may be saffron robes, but then still the intention will be different. That is what Krishna gives in these two shlokas. Rajasic mode and motive and tamasic mode and motive are both discussed here. But jumbled together in these two shlokas, that is why we read both of them together. Ashastra vihitam, a worship which is not prescribed in the shastras, that is ashastra vihitam, and goram. Goram is ugra tapas, terrific, and damba ahankara samyuktaha, endowed with damba. Damba is all the pop and show, and ahankara, vanity. So with full of vanity and all this pomp, and kama raga bala anvitaha, full of desires, kama, attachment, raga, power, balam, all those things. So even to practice this type of puja, you need lot of physical strength also and mental strength. But they are misused instead of using it for good things. So if a person has to undergo physical torture, it requires tremendous strength physically also. So show strength in this way, anvitaha. Then in the next shloka, we find karshayantaha, starving, torturing, thinning. What? Bhutagramam literally means all the elements in the body. That's what it means, bhutagramam, bhuta samuham. But in this context, it can be taken as all the organs. Sarva karanani, jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, you are torturing all of them. And where are they? Sharirastham, which are all in the body. All these jnanendriyas, karmendriyas in the body, torture all of them. So, torturing every organ present in the body, and Lord says here, not only they are torturing themselves, I am also in them. The Lord, I am there in all of them. They indirectly, they are torturing me also. Mam chaiva. We have to add karshayantaha here. So, mam chaiva karshayantaha, torturing me also. Where am I? Antaha sharirastham. Who I am very much in them. As the very Atma. So namaivasho jivaloke. Namaivasho, I am there in all the jivas as Atma. I am the very Atma in them. And every time they insult the body, they are insulting the Lord only, indirectly. Okay, here Shankaracharya, he raises an interesting question here. How can anyone harm the Lord? Because Ishvara is Atma. Atma is asangaha, therefore whatever happens to the body cannot affect the Lord, the Atma. And he himself gives the answer. This has to be interpreted figuratively actually. Literally, we cannot harm the Lord at all anytime. He says, when a person takes to such a torture, they are violating the command of the Lord, vidhi, given in the scriptures. That is disobeying the Lord by such acts. And that is the insult or damage to the Lord. Disobeying the scriptures is the insult or damage to the Lord. Then we have to come to the fifth shloka. Ye janaha tapaha tapyante. In this manner, whoever practices tapas or puja, that is ashastra vihitam, goram, dambahankara, karshayantaha, all those, whatever we saw just now. So, tan asura nischayan vidhi. May you understand them, Vidhi means may you understand them as the people with asuric tendency, asura nischayan, asuric views. Nischayaha means view or resolve, pratham. So, but we should note here again, even though Krishna says asuric only, it represents both tamasic and rajasic people. We saw in the last chapter itself, Asura, that represents Tamapradhana, and Rakshasa represents Rajapradhana. We already saw that earlier. Here, Asura, Asura means Asura and Rakshasas, both. So, Tamasa and Rajasa, both of them. So, it is a mixture of both. Then we will have a question, which is Rajasic and which is Tamasic? Ashastra Vihitam, Goram, Karshayantaha, all come under Tamasic. Violating Shastras, Goram, torturing, all of them, they come under Tamasic. Whereas, Dambahankara Samyuktaha, Kamaraga Balanvitaha, they all come under Rajasic. So, in short, we have got three types of Yajnas now. Sattvic Yajna, we already saw, determined by Sattvic motive, Sattvic method, and Sattvic Devata. In general, we can tell them that the motive is selfless puja for such Sattvic people. And Rajasic one is selfish puja, and Tamasic one is harmful to others also. So, from these three, we can know three types of Shraddha. And from that, we can infer three types of Vasanas also. If three pujas are taking place in three different temples, in one temple, it is very quiet, quiet pujas, dhyanam and all those nice things going on. In another, very noisy things are going on. And in another, all black magic, you know, killing this, offering that animal, this animal, all those things are going on. And the person will be attracted to what? That will tell one's tendency. In what puja one is attracted towards, that tells the nature of that person. Shloka 7. Aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yajnas tapastatha dhanam tesham bhedamimam shrunu. So, actually, with the previous shloka, Krishna has answered Arjuna's question. Because Arjuna's question was regarding Shraddha. That's what his question was. And Krishna had answered it saying that Shraddha is of three types. And he gave even bonus information while talking about the three types of Shraddha. He talked about three types of Swabhavas or Vasanas and three types of Pujas or Tapas. All those he stopped. So naturally, we would expect the chapter to close because that was the question of Arjuna's answer. What more is to talk? But incidentally, Krishna feels that he should discuss some more topics and divide them into Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic types. Some more topics are given. So, regarding our day-to-day activity, for example, for people like us. So that a spiritual seeker can know what is Sattvic, what is Rajasic and what is Tamasic. So that his aim should be what? Gradually, he should give Tamasic and Rajasic qualities and try to become Sattvic. We should ask the first question to ourselves, whether this action of mine, does it harm anyone at all? That awareness that I should not cause disturbance to anybody else. Then slowly we should give up Rajasic type of activities. Even if I don't get any benefit, if others get that benefit, I am happy. I can expend my money, time, effort. If it does good to other people, even if I don't get any benefit out of them, this is giving up the Rajasic quality. So try to give up that Tamasic quality first and then the Rajasic quality also. For that purpose, Krishna is going to take four topics here. Aharaha, Yajnaha, Tapaha and Dhanam. All those four topics Krishna is going to take here. He says, Aharaha, Yajnaha, Tapaha, Dhanam trivido bhavati. All these four. We know the meaning of all these words. Aharaha is food. Yajna is worship. Tapaha is all austerities. And dhanam is charity or gift. So all these also are of three types. So trividaha priyaha bhavati. So based on what a person likes, we can determine what the nature of that person is. And tesham bhedam imam shruno. Arjuna, may you listen to their division, their bedam, so that you can give up Rajasic and Tamasic tendencies and become a Sattvic person. And in the previous chapter we saw, when you take to Sattvic tendency, it will come under Daivi Sampath. If you remember Daivi Sampath and Asuri Sampath, all these sattvic tendencies, they come under Daivi Sampath, divine qualities. When you take to Rajasic or Tamasic, it will come under Asuri Sampath. So we can take this chapter also as Daivasura Sampath Vibhaga only, but done in a different way. Shloka 8. Ayu Sattvabala Rogyaha Sukapriti Vivardhanaha Rasya Snigdha Sthira Hridyaha Ahara Sattvika Priyaha. So shlokas 8, 9 and 10, they talk about Trivida Aharaha, three types of food. And in each of them, what is the order? Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. So the 8th shloka is Sattvic Ahara, 9th shloka is Rajasic Ahara and 10th shloka is Tamasic Ahara. Okay, here Krishna does not actually classify the food as Sattvic. Here the expression is different actually. He does not say such and such food is Sattvic. He doesn't say those things. He only says certain types of food are liked by Sattvic people. Instead of saying X, Y, Z food are all Sattvic, he says certain types of food are liked by Sattvic people. That is Krishna's language. So from that we should infer that this food must be taken for Sattvic qualities. So the list is the food liked by Sattvic people, Rajasic people and Tamasic people, that is the list. And we will convert that as at Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. And Shankaracharya, he makes certain conclusions also in this, that if a person naturally likes Rajasic food, that means his tendency is Rajasic. And he also, therefore, he says, if a person learn to like the Sattvic food, then his tendency also will change from Rajasic to Sattvic. So from his natural temperament, a person can change the habit and to some extent change the temperament or swabhava also. Because that is intense. Because if I am Rajasic or Tamasic, my intent, my swabhava is I want to change. Okay, all this is based on certain Vedic teaching which occurs in the Chandogya Upanishad. In the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, the influence of food on a person is discussed. And in that section, it is said, Annam Ashitam Tredha Bhavati. The food contains three factors at three levels, Chandogya Upanishad. And at the grossest part, the subtle part, and then the subtlest part of annam, that is stulam, sukshmam, and sukshmatamam. Sukshmatam is superlative, the subtlest. So the Upanishad uses the term anishtam. So anishtam. So anishtam means sukshmatamam, anu. Anu means subtles. So anishtam. So this is the thing. And it says the grossest part of food will cater to the taste or tongue only. The grossest part of the food will cater to the tongue only. It will not have any value meant for only Indriya Sukha. That is the grossest part of food. And that will be removed as a waste and will not contribute to the person at all when consumed. Then there is the Madhya Bhagaha or the Sukshma Bhagaha, which caters to the nourishment of the physical body. For example, if you take a food, you divide into three. The gross part, the subtle part, and the subtlest part. So the subtle part, the Madhya Bhaga, that caters to the nourishment of the physical body, namely the Stula Sharira. So, Yo Madhyamo Bhagaha Tat Stula Shariram Poshayati. It nourishes the gross body. And there the Upanishad gives more details also. One caters to the blood, bone, etc. We don't have to go all of them right now. Let us only understand that much. So this may not cater to the taste, but may be very good to the physique, which is Madhyama Bhagaha. We can call it as nutritive power, perhaps, to call it in modern terminology. And then the third part, the third one, which only scriptures talk about, which the science has not studied thoroughly, is the Sukshma Tama Bhagaha, the subtlest, or the Anishtha Bhagaha, which is supposed to cater to the Sukshma Shariram, to the subtle body. Because subtle body also is matter, and that we should remember, subtle body also is matter, like Annam. And there also the Upanishad gives some details like certain type of food caters to the prana, which belongs to the subtle body, some to the mind, some to the speech. So annam, so annamaya annamayakai annamayagu som annamayagu somya manaha apomayi vaku tejomayaha pranaha. That's what the Upanishad says. Annamayagu somya manaha. So the manaha, manas, vak, prana, they are all influenced by the food. Why we have to be choosy about the food is because our vak, prana and mind, they are influenced by the food. And therefore, sattvic food will be that food which influences the mind in a sattvic manner. Okay. And for a Vedantic teacher, he has to build up his physical health also. That alone is not enough. He has to have the mental health also. But his aim is what? Atmajnanam. So it is not enough if he sees what is good for blood or bones. He should also be aware it should not be toxic to the mind or opposed to the spiritual sadhana. And suppose there is a food which is good for physical health but not good for mental health, then certainly a spiritual seeker should eschew that because he is interested in both physical health and mental health, both. And more than physical, he is interested in the mental health because body is temporary but moksha is permanent. At the same time, we take a food which is good for mental health but not good for physical health. That also is not good because one requires physical health. In short, such a food which will be good for both physical and mental health, that alone is good, which is called a sattvic food. So, in fact, Krishna does not discuss the details of these items here. In the Yoga Shastra, they talk all this. If one reads actually Swami Shivananda's book, etc., you know so much of all these details. He even gives a list of sattvic food. What are the food to be taken? There he will write, avoid this food, avoid that food, avoid onion, garlic, all those things he will write. And this alone creates a lot of doubt in people because these scriptures always talk about renouncing, for example, here onion and garlic. Whereas medical doctors, they always encourage, prescribe these two also. So people get a contradiction between scriptures and medical sciences. They have got garlic pearls, you know, all kinds of things they sell, you know, some kind of capsules. We are taking this as an example. And here the reason is only this. The scriptures also accept these two as greatly beneficial for physical health. No question asked. Because Ayurveda, which is based on the scriptures, it accepts the glory of these two, particularly onion and garlic. In fact, in many medical items, they include that. That means it is not the scriptures, they do not know their value. Scriptures know them. Still, if the scriptures negate it, it must have some other vision. And that is why those days the food was prescribed according to the four varnas. They allowed this for the Shudras who don't read scriptures because their main life is, you know, in making sure that the society is supported. They allowed for Kshatriyas because they have to be Rajasic. You know, even Mamsam was allowed for them. But they said Brahmana should not touch because his job is only spirituality. So, four varnas have four different types of food also prescribed. Who does that? Scriptures do that. Therefore, if I like, I am changing my varna dharma. That's all I am doing. For example, if I take some food which is not prescribed for my varna, I am changing my varna dharma. That's all I am doing. So, for example, if a brahmana consistently takes all these things, he will be a brahmana by maybe birth or by caste, but he will be a different varna by his swabhava. That is why they said certain dishes are not good, not from medical angle, but only from spiritual angle. You need lot of physical power, physical strength and all in carrying out certain duties like Kshatriyas. For that, certain type of food are prescribed. They have to take those foods. But Krishna is putting in a general language here. Okay, what are the food liked by the sattvic people? Sattvika priyaha aharaha. This so liked by sattvic people. What are they? The following ones. He gives a list. Ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukha priti vivardhanaha. ayuhu. Ayuhu means longevity. Because sattvic food means sattvic temperament, which means no excitement or tension or worry or anxiety in life. That is a sign of swabhava. That is for such a person, his swabhava is like that. No excitement means no heart problems, no anxiety. And so his life will be certainly longer. Then sattvam. Sattvam means either we can take it as sattva guna or the mental strength. So, ayuhu sattvam. Sattvam means mental strength or sattva guna, not fickle-minded person. Then balam, physical strength. As we said earlier, if it is good to the mind, then you should be damaging to the body perhaps. It is not that. So, we have got lot of other food which will help the mind and the body also. Proteins, we need not get from meat only. It may contain plenty of protein, but it contains lot of tamasic qualities also. So, go for some other food which is sattvic and which contains proteins also. So, we can replace every tamasic food by the corresponding sattvic food. And we can be healthy. That is what the vegetarian congress, they have got the vegetarian congress, they are propagating. Without touching non-vegetarian food, a person can live healthily. One does not need any animal product at all. Not only that, it is harmful to all one person also. And what we will not get is only the taste perhaps. So, the indriya bhogam or indriya chapalyam, that alone may not be there. If one eats for that only, that means he is unfit for spirituality. If person's interest is only to please the tongue, the taste, then he is not fit for spirituality. He should not come to Gita class at all. So, physical strength alone should be remembered as meant for normal daily life, not for heavyweight championship. So, and the Brahmana does not require that, whereas the other Varnas like Kshatriyas, whose job is to protect the country, fight the enemy and all that, because their job is like that, he has to lift weapons which are heavy, or he will get beaten up also. So, for all that thing, the scriptures themselves prescribe such type of food for them. Then Arogyam, health, he will have health also. Whereas in other types of food, disease, etc., they can come. And they also cause addiction, leading to overdo, all that thing, you know, doing overdoing. But sattvic food, if you stop for a day, nothing will happen. If other food, one can get addicted. Here, even sattvic food stop, nothing happens. If you are used to, for example, drinking milk every day, and if you miss one day, there is no problem. But if you are a coffee addict, and you don't take one day, headache will come, that will come, you will feel, you know, all kinds of things. So, that is the difference between a sattvic food and a rajasic food. Then sukham. Sukham is happiness. We are only telling what Gita says. So, people should not think that I am recommending something and all here. I am just only saying what Gita says. Then preeti. Preeti means pleasure. What is the difference between sukha and preeti? That difference also we should understand. Preeti stands for the pleasure of eating. While eating itself, you will enjoy. Oh, it tastes so good, smells so good. And of course, you will be happy later also having eaten. Whereas some of them, they enjoy while eating, but afterwards, there will be acid, there will be yawning. It will send away people from surrounding, sweating on the head, all those things, nose. Some people said, some type of food when you take, you know, you will sweat in the head, in the nose, all those things in the forehead. So, it may be preeti while eating, but later the sense of happiness is not there. So, preeti is there, but not sukham. Whereas, sattvic food, you will enjoy while eating, later also it is good. And vivardhanaha, it increases what? Sattvic food increases all these qualities. Then in the second line it says, he talks about the general nature of sattvic food without specifying which food, what are the general characteristics of a sattvic food he mentions. Rasyaha, rasyaha means delicious or sweet. Generally sweet is associated with sattva guna. But don't take too much. Too much of sugar is not good. That is why in any function they give you a sweet, because sweet represents sattva guna in our scriptures. Then snigdhaha. Snigdhaha literally means that which has got oil or ghee, that is called snehaha. And when you mix it, it is called snigdhaha. So a food which is not dry food, that should also be moderate, of course. Oil, not too much oil, but should be moderate. Then sthiraha, nourishing the body, the food that will nourish the body. Earlier we talked about ayuho, sattva bala arogya. So there it was nourishing the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, inner personality. Here sthiraha, it means to cater to the sthula shariram. So earlier, the ayuhu refers to the sukshma shariram, the mind, buddhi and all. Now it is referring to the sthula shariram, the physical personality. That is thiraha, solid, substantial food, nourishing, nutritious food. Then hridyaha, presentable food, pleasing to the senses, to see, to taste, to smell and mind, pleasing food. That is why some of the food items which has got the color of the meat, they avoid. You know, certain food, they, even though they are not meat, they are vegetable food, but they may have the color of the meat. I can just share a personal joke. My father, he will not take this cabbage. So cabbage in Tamil, it's called muttakos. So he will not take it because it has mutta in it. He has name in that. So people go to, you know, that kind of extent also. We are not being judgmental here. We are only telling how people take some of those things. So it might be good, but does not come under the hridya variety, the color and the appearance and all. Then aharaha, such a food are considered to be sattvika priyaha, liked by sattvic people. Shloka 9. Katvam lalavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshtaha dukkha shokamaya pradaha. So the food liked by Rajasic people, they are all mentioned here, the list of food in general. What are they? Katu, amla, lavana, ushna, tikshna, ruksha, vidahinaha. 7 items are given here. In that, atyushna has to be split as atyushna. Atyushna is atyushna. And that ati should be added to each. So atyushna, ati katu, ati amla, ati lavana, all that thing. So that's how it is. All those things ati. Ati means too much. So they don't say that they should be totally given up. We have to be careful. They don't say give them up all. Don't take too much of them. If they are too much, it becomes rajasic. So ati katu means bitter food. The food which is very bitter. Too much of bitterness. And ati amla, too much sour. Ati lavana, too much salty. For medical reasons also they accept. Spiritual reason also here. And ati ushna, too spicy and hot. And ati tikshna, very pungent, sharp, pepper, all those kinds of things. And ati ruksha, too dry, opposite to snigdha. And ati vidahinaha, that which burns the system, too much of agnitattvam is there in those food. In shastras, they divide food into prithvi tattvam, jala tattvam and agni tattvam. Even food is distinguished by these three tattvams. Even oil, they put under agni tattvam. Similarly, mustard, etc., which are supposed to burn or excite the system, they are all rajasic food. They cause damage to the physical system. These are shastras, you know, the Ayurveda, they say all that. Not only that, what else they cause? Dukkha, shoka, atmaya, pradaha. Sorrow or pain, grief. Here also we may wonder, what is the difference between sorrow and grief? You know, like earlier, preeti and what is sukham. Here, sorrow and grief. There we differentiate. So, preeti is while eating. That's what we said earlier. And sukham is that which comes afterwards. Similarly, here, dukkha means pain even while eating. So much spicy, the watery eyes, all that thing, you know. Still, they like it. Actually, they used to tell about Rajaji. Rajaji likes very hot coffee. And when they give the coffee to him in a tumbler, he cannot hold the tumbler. It is so hot. So he has to have a kerchief or something to hold the tumbler. But such a hot coffee, he will directly pour into the throat. So he likes it so much, such hot coffee. So people like all those things. So there we differentiate between. So here, dukkham, that means pain while eating, so much spicy, the eyes will water also. And later also, they have to pay the price. So shoka means sorrow later also because it damages the mental and physical health. Then amayaha, opposite of arogya of previous shloka. So amayaha. So sattvic food increases health, rajasic food increases disease, rogaha. Pradaha means they cause all these. And then comes to the tamasic food that we see in the next shloka. Shloka 10. Yatayamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam api chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Yatayamam, Shankaracharya, he comments as mandapakvam. Mandapakvam means that which is undercooked, that is half cooked or undercooked. It will not be digested properly. Uncooked or undercooked is considered tamasic food. Then gatarasam, that food whose rasam is gone, rasam gatam. So either because it has been kept for too long or overcooked. So the taste and all these things are ingredients are gone. And if the essence or nutrition is gone, then it is called gatarasa. Then putihi, any food is foul smelling. Some vegetables and dishes, you know, even as they are cooked, you cannot smell them. And afterwards, if we have a foul smell, even after eating also, it leaves a foul smell. And whatever leaves a foul smell should not be taken. Then it will give tamasic character. Shankaracharya says, puti means durgandhi. Durgandhi is foul smell. Then paryushitam, the literal meaning is that which has been kept overnight, paryushitam. Because in our tradition, they don't keep anything for next day. They call it sesham, whatever is remaining, they don't keep for the next day. They don't take it. The reason may be, if it is kept too long, the nutrition may go and it will ferment and so many other things might happen. But medically, people say that yeast is good for you and all. That's a different argument. We are not talking about only the physical nourishment. We are talking about mental nourishment. And it might have become stale also. That is one thing. Olden days, no fridge, refrigerator and, you know, all those things were not there. Hot weather might breed bacteria. So they did not allow food to be kept overnight. If extra, they will give it to poor people. Then uchishtam, leftover food or refuse food. That is, someone has eaten it, but left some portion, and the others eat that portion. That is called eating the sesham or the refuse, also supposed to be tamasic qualities. Remember, they are not talking from pure health point only, tamasic quality. They are talking from the standpoint of mental effect also. So that is why in daily Sandhyavandana karma, when people do that, there is a prayer. Uchishtam abhojyam yadva duscharitam mama sarvam punantu mama apu asatancha pratigrahagga swaha. That is this mantra. If I have violated the rules of food, and if I have taken rajasic or tamasic food, and whatever papam, dushta samskaras may come, let them all go away. So by eating such food, they think it may give them doshas. So they want to be relieved of all those doshas. So it's a daily prayer. That too, you know, asatancha parigraham. This is another very important thing. If I have received food from tamasic people, that tamoguna also may come. When material is transferred from one person to the other, according to the scriptures, it is not just only the transfer of material, it is also transfer of character. So if you take a material from a tamasic person, then we get part of the tamasic character also. And that is what is told next. Amedhyam, impure food, which might have come from tamasic people. They say, so when you receive anything from anyone, you not only receive the material, you also receive some portion of the character. See, that is very much true in our experience also. For example, someone gives an apple, and suppose Acharya also gives an apple. Why do you respect the apple given by the Acharya? After all, both are apples. Because you feel along with the apple, you are receiving the blessings of the Acharya. And what do you mean by blessings? His good thoughts, his good mind, his sattvic mind, a portion comes to me. If that is true in this respect, the same is true in the other way also. When I received a gift from another person who is full of negative thoughts, that also is going to influence me. These are not visible. They are called adrishtam. Drishtam is what is visible. These are adrishtam, which are invisible. This is called asat parigraha. Getting things from asat or tamasic or rajasic people. And in the same way, actually in olden days, some people, they will not even take water outside their own house. They will take water only in their house. And if they go elsewhere, till they come back, they won't even drink water. They will not take food with so many others. They will not take food in somebody else's house because they don't know. And in the same way, for Uchishtam also, they say the same thing. When there is a Mahatma who has taken the food and has left over, they don't consider that as tamasic, but it is considered as sattvic and great. In Bhagavatam, Narada tells that in the previous birth, he was a lowly person. And then he was regularly eating the leftovers of Mahatma. And he was cleaning that place, throwing away the leaf and all those things. That itself blessed me to be reborn as Narada. That is the story of Narada himself. So even in Uchishtam, when a Mahatma takes it, it becomes a prasadam. After offering it to the Lord, that Uchishtam is prasadam. Similarly, because Lord has taken. After giving it to the Lord, whatever is remaining is prasadam. That is Uchishtam. Similarly, Uchishtam of a Mahatma also is considered prasadam. But here, Uchishtam stands for the ordinary people here, because it is supposed to give the character of other people. And what we are saying is, Asat Parigraha is also said in the daily Sandhyavandana Karma, because that is supposed to be also one has to seek relief from. But unfortunately, we cannot ask people. When you go to somebody's house, when someone offers you anything, coffee or whatever it is, you cannot ask him whether that person is sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. All those questions we cannot ask. Therefore, there is a regular prayer. Every day you pray. If such things have happened to me, if they are influencing my mind, oh Lord, let them not influence my mind. That is a prayer. So, Uchishtam, then Amedhyam. Medhyam means holy. Holy or sacred. Anything that can be offered to the Lord, whatever is sacred that is worthy of offering to the Lord, that is called medhyam. So whatever is allowed to be offered. And certain items are prohibited for puja. They are prohibited for use also, or our use also. Like mamsa. So madhyam. Madhyam means the liquor. They are all, you know, they are all prohibited to the Lord. Therefore, to people also. People also should not consume them. Because you should eat only anything after offering to the Lord. So whatever is not worthy of offering to the Lord, one cannot consume them also. So medhyam means what? Yajnaya yogyam. That which is fit for offering. Yajnaya yogyam. Fit for offering to the Lord. And amedhyam means that which is unfit to be offered to the Lord. And another meaning also, that which is already offered to the Lord, that will become prasadam. Therefore, it is medhyam. It is holy, sacred. When it is already offered to the Lord, it becomes prasadam. So it is sacred. On the other hand, when you eat without offering to the Lord, even though it may be sattvic, it may be a sattvic food, even though it might fulfill all other conditions, rasya, snigdha, sthira, whatever we said earlier, even it may fulfill all those conditions, but if you directly eat without offering to the Lord, it becomes amedhyam, unholy. So in the third chapter, Yaha Pachyante Atmahitaya, the one who cooks for himself, Pachyate, Pachyate means the cooks, the one who cooks for Atmahitaya, Saha Stenaha, he is a thief. Krishna is so harsh. If a person only cooks for oneself without offering to the Lord, he is a thief. So that person is a thief who cooks for himself. And that food is considered to be unholy or amedhyam. Therefore, whatever you cook, place it in front of the Lord. Even if that also is not possible, at least pray from wherever you are. You offer to the Lord and take with prasada buddhi. That is most important. It not only becomes sattvic, it becomes sacred food also. Once it is done this way. Without offering that to the Lord, even a sattvic food becomes tamasic. So that's why when one sits on the table, you know, in this country also they say the grace and all that. Essentially, once it is offered to the Lord and taken, shows our sense of gratitude and it becomes holy. And all these are tamasa priyam bhojanam. These are all the food liked by tamasic people. And so those people will be of the tamasic type. And this information is given to change ourselves actually. If people already have some tendencies in these likings, they can make an effort to change. We should take more and more to sattvic food. Avoid too much of karam, you know, all spicy things and all heat, too much of oil, all that. Then the mind also will become proper. That is another thing, the advantage of that. At the same time, our policy must be very practical also. One should never try to overdo anything. If you are going to look to sattvic food in extreme in society, it may be difficult, very, very difficult. So one has to be adjustable. It might be disturbing the others also. To the maximum extent possible, follow. That's all we say. So we should also be practical. That's number one. Number two, we should remember that one cannot change the whole character by food alone. That is another thing we should be careful. Food alone is not the only thing that determines the character. Food is one of the influencing factors. Because there are people who don't follow any other sadhana at all. They don't use the Viveka Shakti to know what is good, what is bad. They don't use any of them. Suppose there is a problem of anger. Just by reducing chilli, anger will not go. Because by taking chilli, we say, you know, such qualities might come. But by reducing chilli, a person has already an anger management has to be done to him. Just only by reducing chilli, it will not just stop the anger. Anger elimination requires one's own effort also. So food is one of the factors and not the sole factor. So we cannot try to change by just changing food. It is only a supporting factor. Shloka 11. I think I can still take one more shloka for the day. But shloka 11 will take more time. So maybe I'll stop here because then it will be incomplete. We will continue with Sloka 11 in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Namaste Narayana.